My employer requires your services, gentlemen. One job, one day's work. I have been asked by my employer...
Very dangerous.
...to bring a proposal.
He does not expect all of you to live.
He does not expect all of you to live.
Do it. Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, a weekly podcast where we talk about pretty much whatever comes to mind. And we should probably take this opportunity to tell you that sometimes we talk about sensitive things. So, if you're easily offended, maybe you should stop listening right now.
So what you want me to do?
Let's get started. The Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast is made possible by Mark Charter Real Estate. Buying or selling? No one offers more than Mark Charter. Free moving truck, free storage, flexible commission plans, and more. Read more than 100 satisfied client reviews at markcharter.com. Now, on with the show.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Please welcome your host, Mark Charter.
I'm sorry I was born with this perfect bone structure, that my hair looks better done up with gel and mousse than hidden under a stupid hat with a light on it.
Adam Gray.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books.
And Chris Williams.
As you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Hey guys, what's up? Not a lot to talk about on today's podcast, so we'll just say thanks to Mark Charter Real Estate, markcharter.com, at Iowa Real Estate on Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Let's just wing it. Let's see if we can come up with something to talk about.
About how Gray cheated in his fantasy golf.
That's a great place to start, actually.
Son of a bitch.
Actually, I got the funniest email this last week. I don't know if you got this email. That was basically we were all in a fantasy golf league. We picked golfers each week, and we got their winnings banked. And unfortunately, there were rules to this thing. There was a way to do it.
As is the case in most games and competitions.
So basically, the famous Brent Bloom sends out a congratulatory email to the winner of the league.
Did you get a boastful text from Gray on Sunday?
I don't know. I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah, I got a boastful text. It was all in emoji form.
But so Brent Bloom sends out this tweet or this email saying, congratulations, Adam Gray has won the league. I mean, what were the winnings? Like
550.
$550.
That's illegal, by the way.
Yeah.
$550.
You paying taxes on that?
Allegedly $550.
So $550. Hey, congrats to Gray. Persevered. Came from behind to win the thing. And then lo and behold, I believe it was the second place person in the league happened to say.
No, it wasn't second place.
Well, wait a minute. I've gone back through this, and it looks like Gray cheated. He did not win the league fair and square. And lo and behold, he did not. Gray did cheat and won nothing. And that's about fitting, in my opinion. So, Gray, if you want to defend yourself,
well,
go ahead.
I'll give Adam credit. Once it was pointed out, I mean, he didn't volunteer before it was pointed out, but once it was pointed out that he indeed cheated to win, he manned up to it. I mean, I wanted to call a press conference with the league commissioner Bloom, and then the individual who pointed out the injustice.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gray manned up. Gray said, yeah, I should be disqualified.
I heard a rumor that Travis Hines was looking into it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Wow.
We weren't ready for the segue. I went early. I went early.
Am I allowed to comment?
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, go ahead and defend yourself.
I said this all along. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. All right?
Oh, there you go.
You gotta cheat. No, it was an honest mistake. For people out there listening, you get four guys in golf that you can pick twice in a year. Everyone else you can only pick once.
Yep.
I picked Rory McIlroy all the way back in March.
Yep.
And I completely forgot that I had picked him before. And so he would have been my fourth pick.
Yep.
Fourth one that you doubled up on. And then the last week I picked Spieth, who won it, which would have won me the league.
Yep.
Except Spieth ended up being my fifth guy. I didn't mess up on Spieth. I knew I picked him twice. Rory wasn't. As soon as it was pointed out to me, I didn't even wait for
I gave you credit for
I
that.
I said, hey, guys, I did that. I will disqualify myself.
And to be fair to you.
I didn't wait for anyone else. I said, I will disqualify myself.
To be fair to Gray, it's not like every week like a spreadsheet got sent out where you could go look to see who you'd picked before.
Yeah.
It's not like that was the case.
No, it actually was.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, you can go in. It's pretty easy.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Okay, he has no one to blame but himself.
No, am I blaming anyone?
I feel bad for you because now you're going to have to come up with your own money to bet in Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Bloom sent me a message saying, hey, sorry about that, bud. And I told him, Bloom, it's not your fault. I'm just an idiot. You know, it happens.
We need to go, and not that many people care, so we should probably move on. But next year, I feel like we should find some sort of a computer program, so it's just not like the Brent Bloom spreadsheet.
Yeah.
To keep this organized.
Actually, because I put that spreadsheet together.
I feel bad. No, I know, but my point is,
like, I feel like, I mean, the honest mistake on your part, if it's online, it's not going to let you
do it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There has to be an online version of that somewhere.
I mean, it is the year 2015.
Yeah.
Almost 2016. God, this year's flown by. I can't believe it's freaking basketball media days are next week.
That seems early.
When's the first game? Against Colorado?
Yeah, that's November, I think, 13th. It's a Friday. So it's a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's the first game.
Man, I'll be working hard then.
I think Rob Gray and I are both going to make the trip up to. It's only like a 4-hour drive.
You need me to drive you?
No. Okay. I mean, you can if you want.
Where's the game at?
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Ooh. Yuck.
It's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
And then there's home football the next day against Oklahoma State. So I think we're going to go up Thursday night after my show, stay Thursday night, and then come back Friday night after the game. Because I'm just assuming at this point, until Iowa State wins some games, that every football is 11 o'clock.
Is that kind of like the default you stink time
yeah.
in college football?
Well, I mean, Kansas gets a
Iowa
lot of
fans
those.
Will take offense to that.
The problem, you're not going to have many 2:30s.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 11 or night.
Yeah.
And I'm optimistically hoping that they're all 11 o'clock kicks because I hate night games.
You get home a wee bit late.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Speaking of Iowa State athletics, did you do anything yesterday? What was your day like?
No, I just hung around.
It was a normal day for you. You were on the radio.
That was a weird day, guys. Like, I'll to preface it, because everybody knows where we're going here, I fully admit that Travis Hines is a friend of mine. Everybody knows that I'm passionate about Iowa State. That whole deal was happening, like, live while we were on the air. There was really no time to process anything. It was a very difficult day on KXNO. I think we did a good job, though, as a team with Keith Murphy and Andrew Downs. And, we got Pollard, Hoiberg, Hines. I mean, my biggest goal yesterday was to not really give too much of an opinion because I couldn't form one because it was happening so quickly, and more just get every side of the story out there so guys like you could, form your own opinions.
Yesterday was weird. It was a roller coaster news story, honestly. When it first broke and I first...
You were spitting mad.
I honestly wasn't. I'm more mad about Smoke on the Water than I was on the story, to be completely honest.
Says
with
a lot
you.
About you, Mark.
Speaking of which, I was having coffee with a Cyclone legend recently that I won't name, but they also said him and another Cyclone legend also hate that song.
Nobody likes
They're on board.
Song. Nobody likes
so,
that song. Let's
anyway,
be
back
honest.
Back to yesterday. I think Gray actually noticed there was a story out. Somebody tweeted me something, and then I went to Twitter, and I think Gray had mentioned something about it. So that's when I first read it. Went to the Tribune, read the article. My immediate thought was, that's not good. not the program is over. Not people are going to get fired, but that's not good.
I believe you sent out a text that people should be fired.
Yeah, whatever. So
no, I really think you sent us a text that said that.
I'll have to go back and look.
I'm doing a little research.
I think you did.
You go ahead and do it. So, but as the day progressed, the seriousness of the story seemed to fade. In my opinion, it got interesting on KXNO yesterday when Pollard called in, Hoiberg called in.
We had Hines before.
You
and
had
after
Hines
the
and
call.
After. You had yeah. Yep, twice. And props to you guys. There's other local radio stations that couldn't get any of those guys on the phone. Again, I'm not naming names, but it is what it is. So you guys did a great job there. But it did. You mentioned earlier. And I agree with this. It seemed a little bit like a story that should have been running on TMZ. And it felt that way after a while because, 8, 9, 10, whatever, unnamed sources. That's kind of like National Enquirer type stuff.
In Travis's defense, and I'm going to just kind of just chime in from time to time.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what I think because I've talked about it. I want you guys to really run with it here. In Travis's defense, and I think this is important, an unnamed source that doesn't mean it's a wrong source. I mean, unnamed sources, just because it's unnamed doesn't always mean that it's lying. So I just wanted to throw that
caveat. It could mean that source has lied to you.
It could mean that every source has an agenda,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's important to consider as well.
Yeah.
I love in this how everybody, whether you, people are either absolute on Pollard needs to be fired or Hines is an idiot. And there's no middle ground here where I'm right in the middle. Yeah, I think
that's what I said yesterday, Gray. I think there's a lot of gray area here.
Yeah, I think Hines is a good journalist. I got a lot of respect for him. I think there was somebody with an agenda who kind of maybe played him a little bit. I don't even want to say played him. I think there's a lot of truth to what he wrote. I'll just come out and say it. I think there's a lot, but I think a lot of the examples that were debunked were more of just a way of showing what, like, little things that pissed Fred off or pissed off the basketball coaching staff. Because, you know, if you guys sit here and call me names like today, it's not going to bother me. But if you call me a name every week for a year, at some point I'm going to get pissed and probably want to punch you, right?
You're probably there.
I'm getting close. I'm about ready to just take you down. But that's just an example. Just one little comment here or there of, you know, pissing off Fred isn't a big deal, like the hotel deal. But maybe it's just one of the small details that put him over the edge to where he didn't want to be there. At the end of the day, I don't think Fred is at Chicago Bulls because of Jamie Pollard, but I do believe that Jamie Pollard didn't make it harder for him to leave.
It seems like
that's my opinion.
It seems like, honestly, the story is almost a non-story.
Kinda.
Maybe there was some friction between Pollard and Hoiberg. That would be normal. Okay.
Why would that be normal? Because here's my
friction between a boss and his employee?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Pollard was Fred's boss, right? But
yeah.
I'm sorry, Pollard. Put the ego aside. Fred Hoiberg is a bigger deal at Iowa State than you.
For sure.
And you have to sit there. If you're a sales manager, right, and you have a guy who's the top salesperson in the whole company working underneath you,
he makes your region
and makes you look better.
Yeah.
All you're doing is, what can I do to make your job better? What can I do to make? And you
kiss
his butt, even though you're technically his boss. He makes you look better. Fred Hoiberg made Jamie Pollard look better.
But are you implying that Pollard wasn't doing something to help Fred? What was that thing?
Yeah, I think this article. Here's the thing, Travis Hines, just like Chris, they're around the program almost every day during basketball season.
Yeah,
they have their ear to the ground. They know what's going on.
They know
this story isn't coming out of nowhere. It's just not. All right, there's rumblings around there to where he felt comfortable enough to go looking for sources, looking to write this story.
But at the end of the day, though, do you think that Hoiberg left because of any of this? I don't think that's true whatsoever. I mean, no. I don't look at it that way.
I think he would have gone to the personally. Yeah.
Almost no matter what.
No.
And a big part of this story. And Chris, I think you know as close to the real details as possible. A big part of that story was the Hawaii thing, right? And them sleeping on suitcases or whatever. Well, if the story was literally they just reached checkout time and their flight was until later in the day, well, that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
Nobody keeps an extra day to hang out in their room in the afternoon.
I think the point of the story for Travis was kind of how...
That was just an example of the penny pinching, nickel and diming.
But was it even penny pinching?
I think it was more like the whole quote on Bush League mid-major, is this how Kansas would do it or is this how like North Carolina? I think that was the point. I'm not saying I agree with it. That's how I read it, at least. To me, like it all kind of got when Hoiberg came on and real. I mean, when Pollard comes on, then it's Travis for. It's not even Travis. It's Travis's sources.
Yes.
Against Pollard.
Pollard never said anything bad about Travis on the air.
No, because everybody likes Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the deal.
He kept using the word misled. He was misled.
When Hoiberg came on, it was kind of like, as far as public perception goes, it's like.
And he
just stepped on it, but like
Hoiberg's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's not going to come on and kill Jamie Pollard.
He does not want his alma mater Iowa State to look bad.
Yeah, and I think people thought like one of them was going to come on and verify the story. I'm like, what possible motivation would either one of them have to go do that?
So here's the thing: let's assume that Hoiberg knows who these sources are, and I'm guessing he probably does.
Probably
does he make a phone call and say, dude? Shut your mouth.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, but I mean, all I know is Fred hates controversy.
Yes, he does.
And you could tell he was kind of irked. For him to call and do what he did yesterday was fairly uncharacteristic. I don't think he's probably mad at Travis. I think he's mad at whoever's talking or whatever. I don't know. To me, like the whole point that, and this is what, it's just so difficult because. You know, Travis isn't going to give up his sources. If he was talking off the record with somebody, you keep it off the record. I mean, Travis is shrewd like that. He's good like that. And that's where it becomes really difficult. Where I question, and I asked Travis twice in our interview with him, talked to Fred before this story ran, and he, you know, said no, and that's what he put in his story too. And to me, that was the interesting part, because then you, on Pollard's side, saying that Fred told Travis not to run the story. Does that make sense?
That's where it felt like somebody was lying to me.
I don't know if anybody's lying.
That's where it got tripped up. Yeah. You had Pollard very specifically stating what had happened, who talked to whom, and then you had Travis come on and not corroborate that part of it at all. So it's like, okay, maybe he did, and Fred said, you know, this conversation never happened, and that puts you in a weird position. I think there was some stuff happening behind the scenes that none of these people could talk about.
I've been in a similar situation. I mean, this Jeff Hornacek thing.
Yeah.
Like, I published a report which was 120% accurate, by the way. And his agent attacks me on the internet and social media and whatnot. There's nothing I can do. Like, I can't be like, well, this is my source. If I would have been able to do that, then public opinion would have been like, oh, Williams he's locked in on this.
Yeah.
But you can't do that sometimes.
I was wondering yesterday too, by the way, has there been a period of time in journalism, I'm sure this has happened somewhere, where it was a similar situation and someone was like, you need to reveal your source, and that person just did, maybe they're getting out of the business, they didn't care anymore or whatever. It's like, okay, here's my source. And his name's it. And that, like,
I'm sure somebody has. They're,
oh, crap.
Not in the business
anymore.
Now you
name your source. You know, yeah, and I have, you know, Travis obviously can't name sources. I think everybody gets that. But the story evolved quickly yesterday, because if you were on the message boards, there was I don't know if it was the title, but there was a Fire Pollard, you know, thread. And then shortly after that, there was a Fire Travis thread. Mm-hmm. And the story just kind of kept changing throughout the day.
That's what I'm saying. People are absolute. They want one or the other. They don't realize there's a middle ground to this story.
Yeah.
I mean, here, I read it. It honestly, it didn't surprise me. I mean, when I read it, there was nothing in there that I said, wow, that was really surprising. I can't believe
that's the end for somebody. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it seemed kind of petty.
I hate how, like, we all, and I think just our society in general, jumps to it, like, just fire everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you just see that so often. It's like with coaches, if it's just anything in general.
I guess my only thing on this is I think there is smoke to it that maybe I think they get along fine. I don't think I don't think Hoiberg and Pollard don't get along. But I bet you there's a couple times where Hoiberg got a little irked at Pollard. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, I mean, we all get irked with bosses, and
but
that's just life.
And people keep saying he'd be the Bulls regardless, and for the most part, I agree with that.
I do agree.
But 2 or 3 years before that, he was looking at going to the Minnesota freaking Gophers.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Fred Hoiberg is not leaving his alma mater for the Minnesota Gophers unless there's something going on within the program, at the athletic department, that kind of leaves him with something else he wants, right? That he feels like he should get more than what he's getting. Am I right on making that leap?
No, with that situation, though, I mean, he got a new contract, and I mean, it was kind of put to bed pretty quickly.
Okay. Not without there being some smoke there.
There was some smoke, yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I remember I remember this day like it was yesterday. When I first started hearing those rumblings, it was like 5 o'clock one day.
Yeah.
There was a new contract by like 9 that night.
Okay.
I mean, it happened quick.
But it still goes back to the fact that he was even having discussions with Minnesota. It's not like he's having discussions with North Carolina or Duke. It's Minnesota. I mean, what are we talking about here? To me, that was the first sign of, why is this guy feel like he needs to go looking for another job? And not only did he take the Bulls job, but he goes back and says he interviewed with, 10 different NBA jobs?
I don't know.
So he was actively looking to leave Iowa State.
I don't know if he interviewed. I think he said talked to.
Talked to, interviewed. It's the same thing in that business.
Well, he wanted to go to the NBA. I don't think
this story had anything to do with him leaving. That's just my opinion.
I don't either. He would have left. I mean, it's the Chicago Bulls. I don't think he would have left to coach the Denver Nuggets, but the Chicago Bulls, I absolutely
and
did.
By the way, you both are a couple of damn liars, because I'm going back through our tweets and our text, and I did not say that.
I'm sorry.
The worst I said was a question. I questioned if Pollard had blocked Hines on Twitter. That was the worst thing that I said yesterday.
My apologies.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. I was in a meeting, and I walked out of there, and I had 16 text messages, and I was like, what?
What happened?
I had no idea what had gone down.
Yeah. So I don't know. And I asked you before this, and I don't think this is tough. I don't envy what you guys do because it can put you in a very tough position when you have a job to do. And that's the quote, I have a job to do. Everybody understands that. And in this case, Travis felt he had a job to do, and he did it. But man, it makes it awkward for you guys moving into the future when you have to do stuff like this. I mean, Travis is going to be walking on eggshells for a while.
Yeah,
up around Iowa State. It's got to be tough to report on these people that you get to know.
Do you think
really well?
I've had a lot of people ask me if he'll be locked out.
No.
I don't think any chance of that.
That won't happen.
Has that happened to other people in the past, though, for things that they wrote or
the
said?
The Des Moines Register with Donald Trump.
Well, he's kind of an idiot. But
Fox News. Fox News got the boycott. Any media people.
I've never seen Iowa State do that.
Have they locked out Tom Mitoski? Because if they've not locked out Tom Mitoski, then Hines is fine.
I mean, Iowa did it. So it's, you know, they did it last year.
Yeah, but Iowa's there.
But they reversed it, though.
Because of public pressure. But my point is that they did it.
That was a terrible move. Well, it wasn't even locking those guys out. They, like, supposedly changed their policy, which was just... I mean, I killed him on the radio. That was the stupidest. The problem with what they did was, which I somewhat envy them for the fact that they're trying to trim the fat when it comes to... The problem is, like, everybody these days thinks that they're...
Has a blog or a website.
Yeah,
or
that
whatever.
They deserve press credentials. Yeah. And it does get to be too much. Like, for instance, like, there's a seat next to me usually at Hilton for some newspaper, like, in Western Iowa. I'm not kidding. I don't think they've been to a game in... Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen them at a game, and they still continually get credentialed. To me, like, Iowa State's really good. I mean, if you're, like, legitimate and you've shown interest, like, they'll credential you. And because back in the day, guys, Iowa State wasn't – they needed any type of publicity that they could get. It's different now, but still true to an aspect. And I think Iowa was trying to trim the fat as far as how many, like – not legitimate dudes are up in our press box eating our free food and getting access to our players. But they did it the wrong way. They cut out two guys who have decades worth of track record. And that's where it comes down to me with all this. I think at the end of the day, as far as on the record stuff goes, when Fred Hoiberg came out, who is the source in this story, okay? Yep. He's the source. When he came out and said what he did, to me, that ended the story. I'm not going to talk about it at length on my show later on today. However, man, I don't even know where I was going with this. Oh, track records. I mean, I always think it's important to look at a guy's track record. Travis does not have a bad track record, as Jamie Pollard alluded to yesterday. So
you just wonder.
I'm not going to dwell on it later.
You just wonder if it's not a blatant freeze out, like, hey, you're not allowed at our events. I don't think they would do that, but you're in the press conference. You got 10 reporters. They're all wanting to ask questions, and poor Travis just isn't getting called on.
No.
I mean, you could see something like that potentially happen.
I don't believe that will happen.
So my bigger question, the most important question I've ever asked is, because you just mentioned this paper in Western Iowa, how they're never there, yet they still get credentialed. At what point would the Fawcast qualify for legitimate credentials?
It won't.
Hey, Gray, you and I, we talk about Iowa State, you know? We could go in there and say, hey, listen, we got a podcast, you know?
I'm credentialed.
People are listening.
Yeah, I'm full credentialed.
No, for the Fawcast, my friend.
That's never going to happen.
Not for your... See, that's hurtful.
Why not, Chris?
Hurtful. You're saying some crappy newspaper gets credentialed and the Fawcast carries no weight. I think the Fawkers out there would disagree with that.
It doesn't really matter how much weight. Like, I think the biggest thing, like, for me is, like, are you actively covering a team?
Yeah.
Are you there at press conferences? Are you there after practice? You know what I mean?
Like, I don't want to go to any press conferences.
No,
that might hurt our chances.
You know what I don't want to do?
You do not want to sit in the press box.
No.
You're much better off out in the...
I want to cheer. I want to be loud.
I honestly, like...
I agree.
Like, it kills me during the Iowa State-Iowa game, like, just with how great of an atmosphere it is.
Yeah.
We're in this stuffy press box with the windows closed. You can't even hear the crowd. Like, it's like you're not even there.
Yeah.
And you don't have that good of a seat because you're that high up. It's not like you're better off watching it at home.
It's kind of like one of the better passes you can get from a prestige standpoint at a football game is on the field, right? You got field passes. The view stinks.
Yeah, it's not
from
good.
Down there. Many years ago, I was down there, and it's a horrible place to watch the game from.
Yeah.
But you look cool because you got a pass. So.
All right, should we move on?
Sure.
Let's do Kansas, and then let's do our picks. Or do you want to do picks?
Did either one of you guys pick the Iowa State Kansas game for your picks this week?
I haven't done mine yet. I'm gonna.
I did not. I did not because I'm completely torn on the game.
I took the over under.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shocking.
You love unders.
With Iowa State? Who, why wouldn't you?
So the spread I saw today was Iowa State minus 16.5.
Yeah.
That was the spread. I am completely torn on this game.
I'm going to stay the hell away from
it. I can see Iowa State winning the game by 35 points.
Yeah.
I can also see them winning by 14 points.
No, okay, let's be honest. Can you really see Iowa State winning by 35?
Yes. I can see that happening. I can see Kansas come out and suck even more than they already do. Iowa State hits a couple of bombs.
Yeah.
And it just gets away from Kansas. I can see that happening. Now, the Iowa State in Iowa State makes me think, no, that won't happen. They'll throw a pick. They'll do a fumble. They'll do something to keep it closer. I don't see any way that Iowa State loses the game. I would be very shocked.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I don't see Iowa State losing this game. I see them winning handily. I would say covering 16.5, but 21 is maybe the – I mean,
the
I think it's close. Yeah, close.
The real question is Kansas scoring. And Kansas has scored in all of their games. It's not like they're getting shut out.
They only scored 13 against Rutgers, though.
They did.
Rutgers are terrible.
They did.
I just I don't trust this Iowa State offense to put up the necessary points to win by 35. I mean, it'd have to, for them to win by 35, I think it'd have to be 35-0.
I just think
defensive touchdown.
Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. A punt return. I mean, I can see Iowa State scoring, you know, 42, 49 points. I'm not saying they will, just if everything fell into place,
yeah.
they could do that. Cuz they've had games even like in you know, past years against, you know, K-State, teams like that where they come out and they just play on fire and they just play great. It's going to be tough to do that against Kansas because it's tough to get up for a team that's garbage.
I don't know. They just kicked our, you know what, last year. We should be able to get up for that one.
See, and that's the other thing that scares me.
We should incorporate a way into our picks where we can buy teases, which will go to like a pot at the end.
Nice. Chris, you would know this, and Gray, you probably do too. Mr. X's and O's. How much worse is Kansas this year than last year?
Well,
like twice as bad or just a little bit worse?
Would they win like three games last year? So I don't know if they could be twice as bad. They're bad. They've kicked off how many guys from the team from last year, Chris?
A lot. I don't know how many.
It was a team that wasn't very good to begin with.
My point being, they did kick our butt last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying they'll kick our butt this year.
That was as bad of an Iowa State team as you've seen since 2002. That single game at Kansas.
Well,
I mean, that performance.
Sam was out that game. That was the first game where Brandon Jensen, I think, was out.
Yeah, it was a terrible. And
I'll never forget it because I bet on the Cyclones. I was in Vegas.
Yeah, you got beat.
Yeah. The only good thing is the Hawks also got trounced that same day. Minnesota kicked their butts.
They did.
Same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd bet on the Hawks too. Stupid me.
So I'm going to stay away from you in Vegas. I'm gonna go bet at a different casino.
Dude, if I win a single bet in Vegas this year, it'll be better than last year.
You didn't win one.
No. I lost every single bet.
How many bets you make?
Probably 7-8.
Wow.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrible. Wow. The only thing that redeemed the weekend.
No,
I didn't double down, but I was doing some crazy stuff. Anyway, it was ugly. It was ugly. So, but yeah, we can do picks if you're ready.
I'm working on mine.
Chris is working.
I'm getting
all right,
close.
Well, I'll do it while Chris is looking.
I'm gonna lay the gauntlet down here, by the way, and say that
we all had bad.
I'm tired of sucking, so I feel good about these picks this week. I'm gonna turn this thing around.
What happened last week?
Last week, all three of us went 2-3.
Yeah.
So
it could be worse.
Yeah, I mean 2-3 is not good,
I mean it's anybody's ball game. Whatever. Anybody's ball game. No one's running away with this thing yet.
I am in the lead at 11-9.
Yep.
Then Charter is 9-10-1 and C-Dub, no surprise to anyone, is bringing up the rear at 8-10-2.
I'm doing good in your KX&01.
You're doing better than I am.
I'm in like tied for second, I think.
Dude, Gabe Glenn is 9-1.
Yeah, he'll fizzle out.
In that thing. 9-1.
He'll fizzle
That's
out.
Impressive.
I think I'm 7-3. What are you in that one?
I'm like 4-6.
Oh.
Yeah, not good.
Ah,
not good.
That's embarrassing.
All right, well, it changes this week, though.
It
changes
this week. You ready?
You know who won? You know who won the celebrity pool last week, by the way?
Yeah.
Did you see that? The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Bringing it 5-0.
How are you guys really close still?
He actually tweeted that. I tweeted at him. It was interesting to see. I tweeted at Bachelor and at Feeding America, his charity, that he had won. And he commented on it. And obviously, once he did that, then his fans liked it and started talking about it. So it's good when you get a little plug from the Bachelor.
Are you guys still sharing a room in Vegas?
He has not confirmed Vegas.
Mm. So he's not going.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's not going to go.
Guys, he's a busy guy.
He's still looking for true love.
The best,
he'd be one of those guys that would last minute say, like, I'm in.
The best part of that, if If Batch goes on the Vegas trip, we'll be watching him and Gray buddy up.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
for sure.
Gray will be like a little like groupie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's just like hanging on him. Dude, I would. Like, the chicks would be surrounding that guy.
Dude.
I know you would.
Yeah, it'd be great.
That's why. I mean,
Chaser Charter over
here. I think he's a good guy. I think he'd be fun to drink with, but I think that alone would be fun to watch. Him in Vegas.
It'd probably get annoying, though.
For him. For him.
Well, I would think even for, like...
Do you think he'd be recognized in Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
For me, I wouldn't want to be around... Like, to me, that would get... Like, you kind of go to Vegas to hang out with your boys and stuff. Yeah. Like, to have just, like, groupies all over the place would kind of start to suck, wouldn't it?
But in a selfish way, I bet he could get us, like, a VIP table. He could, you know...
No, that'd be good.
You know? He could get us a cabana.
No, I agree with that.
All that stuff. I just call the concierge and say, oh, by the way,
Have you always been a Jersey Chaser, or is it just kind of later on in life?
Later on in life, yeah.
I respect that, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, first pick. Should I start?
Sure.
All right, first pick of a 5-0 weekend coming up. I wish I could do this like the commercials here on the radio. 5-0 guaranteed. Pay off your mortgage with these picks. Bet your house.
Is that what Kelly in Vegas does?
Can I start saying bet your house?
No.
All right, first pick, game tonight. We're recording this on Thursday.
You like the Ravens, don't you?
NFL action, I don't.
Oh.
I don't like the Ravens. I'll tell you why. Big Ben is out. I'm taking the Steelers +3. The game is in Pittsburgh. Michael Vick is who cares? But the Steelers arguably have the best wide receiver in the game, and he doesn't need to run deep routes to get open. They can do reverses. They can do other things, and they will get him involved. They also arguably have one of the best running backs in the game.
Do.
So +3 at home with those players, I like that. And the Ravens aren't very good this year.
I saw a statistic that in games that Big Ben does not play, they are 1-5 or 1-6 all time against the Ravens.
It's not good, but these aren't your typical Ravens. Yeah, Suggs is out. They're getting older too. So the plus points at home, that's attractive to me.
Holy crap.
Yes.
Yep.
LSU 44.5 over Eastern Michigan. It's a line. 44.5.
That would scare me because LSU just played Syracuse last week and didn't cover the spread. It was 24, and Syracuse wasn't very good.
What's the largest number you've seen in a football game?
For a spread?
I want to say like Florida State and some FCS school, Savannah State or something like that.
For sure in the 50s, but I don't know, maybe like a 63 point, something like that.
I want to say Florida State, the Jameis, one of those, not last year, the year before.
Yeah.
And they covered. Like, I remember they had that thing.
It's rare.
That's insane.
Most of the time, those big spreads are in the 40s, but you'll see one in the 50s occasionally.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So, are you taking it?
No, I'm not going to touch that.
By the way, speaking of LSU, man, Leonard Fournette, have you guys watched that guy?
Yeah, he's
all right.
Beast.
He's all right.
Beast.
How would you do tackling him? Let's say he was running right at you.
I'd get out of the way.
I'd go for his knees.
Knee to the helmet.
Do you think you would just bounce straight off him, or do you think you could take him down?
No, he'd kill me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd actually kill me.
Yeah.
He could.
I would die.
Steelers +3. Gray, what do you got?
All right. I like Clemson at home. It's a pick'em game against Notre Dame. It's a night game. Typically, I don't like Clemson in big games, to be honest with
pick'em.
You. Pick'em. It's a pick'em.
Interesting.
I saw there was a line earlier.
There might have been.
It's 1.5. Clemson's a 1.5 point favorite.
It's a pick'em.
No, it's not.
I literally just looked.
Well, look, it's 1.5. I'm looking at it right now.
I don't think we can give you the pick'em on that, Greg.
I'll take 1.5. They'll cover that.
All right.
Like I said, I typically don't like them in big games, but it is a night game at home.
Notre Dame's so beat
up. Give me Clemson, straight up.
Backup quarterback for Notre Dame still.
Yep.
Although he's played a few games now.
He's solid.
Yep.
Okay, I got one.
I don't hate that pick. Okay.
I don't think Minnesota's any good.
The Vikings, they're all right, man.
No, the Gophers.
Gophers.
Fred Hoiberg's Gophers.
Stop.
So I'm going to take Northwestern in 4 at home over Minnesota.
Northwestern favored by 4 at home.
Correct.
Man, that seems like a low number, too, because I don't think Minnesota's all that good.
Minnesota sucks.
But then again, Northwestern's not exactly
Minnesota's offense. Have you seen their offense?
How did Northwestern beat Stanford? Stanford looks great.
But Northwestern has a really good defense.
Yes, they do.
Their offense is pretty blah, but I don't think Minnesota can score 2 touchdowns against them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't care what Northwestern's offense is like. I mean, I'll take a touchdown there.
I haven't disagreed with any of you clowns yet.
Just wait.
I'm going to take, we're going to hop into the Big 12 here. some entertaining games in the Big 12 this week.
Oh, this is a great weekend.
I'm going to take Oklahoma at home. I got the -7 over West Virginia. That's a measly touchdown.
Yeah. Okay?
I think Oklahoma is the better team. They're at home. Unfortunately, I could see them winning by 4, 5, 6, and I'll lose. But I'll take a push on this one if I have to. Oklahoma -7 over West Virginia.
I had the same take.
All right.
I really liked it at 6.5, but it's up to 7 now.
Yeah. Worst case push. So, yep. All right. Gray.
All right. I'm going to go with a lock of the week here.
Ooh.
And just lock of the year. I'll just take Iowa. Can I just take Iowa State under for the rest of the season?
Yeah, if you want.
It's 59.5. Okay.
So okay.
Let's just say 60, right?
Lock of the year.
60 points. That means that last week, Kansas scored 13 points against Rutgers. If they score 13 yep. points against Iowa State again, I think everyone agrees Iowa State's defense is better than Rutgers. Rutgers, they're awful. They're
so you're seeing like even like a 35-21 score, you're safe. You know, they're not covering there.
Iowa State, in my opinion, for this to go over 60, would have to score over 40 points. I do not see Iowa State scoring.
Vegas is not seeing any defense in that number then. They're thinking the number's going up, which only indicates they – predict a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just don't. Do you guys agree with me? Do you see any way that gets up to 60 with Iowa State's offense?
This game just scared, like, if from a betting standpoint.
It has all, craziness.
Yeah, all the way around. Like, when you get to... I don't think you're crazy, Adam.
Okay.
Like, if you were to tell me, hey, Williams taking over or under, I'd take the under. But it does, like, just, I wouldn't put a dime on this game.
Too much has to happen for them to get to the over.
I thought it was going
to
be like 48-49.
Yeah.
When I saw
that. That's a high number. I agree with you.
I think you had the right read. I'm just telling you, this whole game, like, it's just weird. Usually, when you have bad football teams, bizarre stuff happens.
Lock of the year, Grace says. So, bet your house on that one.
Okay.
Don't bet your house.
Okay. Williams, you gave us your second one because you also went Oklahoma.
Yeah, I did.
All right, don't kill me, Clone fans. This is purely a bet. I'm going to take Iowa +6. Iowa has a lot of good mojo happening over there, whether you like it or not. They're rolling. They're confident. I think they're fairly healthy. I don't think Wisconsin is that good. They're not the Wisconsin that you typically see. Iowa could win that game outright. Could. So I like Iowa +6 at Whiskey.
It's an interesting game because, Iowa's faced two average defenses, I would say, in Iowa State and Pittsburgh. Wisconsin looks like they legitimately have a very solid defense. And Iowa's offense, I still don't trust that offense. I think their offensive line against a good Wisconsin team can get beat up on. I would stay away from that game altogether.
It's risky. I agree.
I would stay away from it. In Camp Randall, the good thing going for Iowa in that game is it's at 11 o'clock. You play in Camp Randall at night, forget about it.
Forget about it.
All right, Gray doesn't love that pick. What do you got?
What do I got? I am going to keep going away. I'm going to just stick with what's worked for me. The unders for Iowa State's worked, and going against the 49ers has worked. So I'm taking Green Bay Packers, 8.5 on the road against the 49ers. I think the 49ers are the worst team in the NFL.
Let me tell you something about Green Bay, and I hate saying this, but I have watched, so I've had a little bit of money riding on some Green Bay games recently.
Yep. Allegedly.
And they've been in primetime spots where you could watch the whole game, like Monday night, etc. I've got mad appreciation for Aaron Rodgers. And I hate saying that as a Bears fan, but God, he's good, dude.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Total control, especially at home.
He doesn't get flustered. Like, he just
doesn't get flustered. And the guy is smart with like his hard counts, drawing him off, and he takes advantage of that free play.
You know who else doesn't get flustered? Your mama.
Yeah.
And
okay.
What?
I don't know. Just trying to work in the.
He would know.
Your mama.
He would know.
No.
Can I make my pick? Or were you
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a problem with me. Like, I'm over here making these picks while you guys are, it kind of interrupts the flow.
See, this is why I hate how the way Williams does this. He picks on the fly because when Williams loses
I was so busy, guys. I didn't have any time to
get out of here. No, not at all. I'm doing the opposite because I struggled last year so mightily. Last year, I was doing a lot of research on these things, and now I'm just not overthinking myself. So you're not going to hear any excuses here.
All right.
I'm going to go with just because they're not – listen, I've been down on Oregon all offseason. I didn't think they'd be very good by their standards, but they're not that bad. So I'll take them -7.5. I don't like the point there. I'd love to tease this. But they're still better than Colorado. They're 2 touchdowns better than Colorado. So I'll take Oregon at -7.5.
Where's that game at?
Boulder.
Oregon looks so bad.
Dude, it's Colorado.
Yeah. It worried me because Oregon looked crappy.
Well, that quarterback of theirs is not.
He's not ready.
No.
He's not ready.
Colorado's 3-1, but their wins are over UMass, Nicholls State, and Colorado State. They lost to Hawaii.
Yeah.
They lost to Hawaii?
They lost to Hawaii as a touchdown
favorite.
See,
that's the non-conference schedule that Iowa State needs to be doing right
now.
No
crap.
And we'd be 3-0 right now, and everybody would be pumped going into this Kansas game.
Yep. All right. Back to the Big 12 we go.
You good?
Write that down, Gray. Back to the Big 12 we go. One of those entertaining games I was talking about in the Big 12. TCU takes on Texas. I'm going to take over 71 points. That game's over 50 points in the first half. 71.
You got to love Big 12 football. I freaking love it. People can make fun of it.
I'm telling you, they're going to have over 50 points in the first half.
That freaking
game. I'll take that bet.
71.
That Tech TCU game was so awesome.
Especially the way it ended.
We started off trying to do shots with every touchdown. Yeah. Jesus.
Don't get me going on that game. The refereeing is so bad in college football. And here's the thing. Refereeing is bad, and I can forgive it. Because
do you write for Barking Carnival?
No. But here's the thing. What's worse is when they have instant replay and they still get it wrong. That Trayvon Boykin two-point conversion was not a catch. He was out of bounds.
I agree with that one.
Garbage.
I remember seeing that and saying, how is yeah, it is annoying when they get instant replay wrong.
I was too drunk.
You were gone at that point. Gray, you said you take that bet. So you agree with my number or disagree with my number?
I disagree with no, your halftime of 50 points by halftime. I disagree
That's
with
really
that.
That's really not that many points,
not
honestly.
Four
touchdowns each.
TCU is like
Texas
the new
Baylor. Offense, though.
They scored. See the Cal game? Texas
got
is scoring.
That Hurd kid.
You know?
I'm not buying it.
Gary Patterson's, even as beat up as Tech is, the only thing that would worry me, Mark, and I like that. I don't hate your pick. The only thing that would worry me is a Gary Patterson schematically defense in that freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
I feel like he could mix some stuff up to really mess with that
mix
kid.
But even that is like pick sixes and all sorts of stuff, which leads to points.
That's the only hole I could poke in that.
The game I didn't pick, by the way, which maybe one of you guys did, which is the entertaining game of the week coming up, Baylor-Texas Tech.
Dude,
that's going to be an entertaining
game
as well.
No, 17 points seemed high to me.
Okay,
though.
I think everybody when they saw that, and I'm not picking that game either, this is my only theory on that. Okay, because I think when I looked that up and saw 17, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Because Baylor has not been that impressive this year. I think we can all agree. But Texas Tech is coming off of two like really super emotional games.
Yeah.
And I feel like Briles, like this is the type of game that Briles will freaking rub it in your face if he has the opportunity. And I still, I kind of lean with you, Adam, where I don't think Tech is probably as good as people think at this point.
I give them credit, though. They've been a lot better than I thought.
No, they have. I don't think they're like this Big 12. Like I've seen some people like put them in title conversation. Yeah. They're not that good.
This is This is what I would describe.
They'll lose five games this year.
The timing of that game is, I think, why the spread
is so high. This is a so-called blow your load game, and we have a parental advisory at the beginning of this, so we're fine.
Yeah, you can say blow your load.
Meaning Texas Tech just blew their load last week. That's why the line is where it is.
If I were to bet this, I would take Baylor. I would feel a lot better at 16.5.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see Baylor running away with it. Tech's just tired, and their quarterback is dinged. He's playing, I think, but he's dinged.
Davis Webb might start. I just read that before we went on the air.
Yeah. All right, so no one's taking it. So, Gray, did you pick one there? No.
No. So, over 71 in the TCU game.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't feel good about this one. Okay. They burned me 2 weeks ago. I'm going back to them. I'm taking the Bills at home, -5.5 over the Giants. I think that Bills defense blitzes Eli Manning, and it's a 4-interception Eli Manning game, which we see about one or two a year. We see him once
Bills,
or twice a year.
Bills looked great against the Jets. That's not a horrible pick, but it's the NFL. Look, so many three-point games.
The Bills have looked great except when they played Tom Brady. And let's be honest, Tom Brady makes everybody look bad. Yeah. So Eli Manning, while he's got some nice guys to throw to, he's also very prone to that 4-interception game. I think it happens this week, and they win that by, I don't know, 2 touchdowns.
I'm going to take who I think might be the best team in the SEC. Might be. Texas A&M, 6.5 over Mississippi State in College Station.
That's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State is good, but I don't think they're elite when it comes to the SEC teams.
You mentioned might be the best team. Do you still feel that way after A&M escaped back-to-back loss Arkansas team.
Yeah, because, I mean, still at Arkansas is tough, no matter what. Arkansas had lost at one point, like however many games in a row in the SEC, but they're still a good team.
That one was at Jerry's World, though. It was a neutral site game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, didn't really help either team.
No, I think that A&M is like the real dark horse to go to the playoff.
All right, speaking of SEC, we're going there for my final pick. And speaking of maybe one of the best teams, this is interesting. First time in, I believe, 72 games.
Bama.
Alabama has been an underdog. I am going with Nick Chubb, by far the best-looking running back in America, if you've seen that dude with his shirt off online. The guy's a monster. Georgia -2 over Bama.
See, okay, I'm not picking this, but what we did in our Cyclone Fanatic ones for this week, and I went the opposite only because when's the last time Georgia won a big game?
Never under Mark Richt.
I think it's time is the point.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Maybe you're right. And I don't think Bama's like Bama of old either. So.
They're not. I think this might be one of our celebrity pick'ems too. I can't remember. I think that's one of the
games. To me, like, if you're going to give me 2 points and an underdog Bama and Nick Saban versus Mark Richt.
The way that I look at it, like a 2-point spread, though, is you have to be thinking, if you're taking those +2 points, that you think Alabama's going to win the game.
Yeah, it's a money line situation.
So
the 2 points are irrelevant.
So
other than Tennessee last week.
Yeah.
I benefited from that because
it was like a point and a half, and I lost that game.
I had Tennessee.
Yeah, I hated that. 28-27. Like,
I truly felt that I lucked out with that. Like what? I didn't feel like I had the right read anything. That was just a good beat.
All right. So Chris disagrees with me, but Georgia -2 over Bama.
What time does that game start?
It's got to be a 2:30 game.
I thought it was night. I can find out.
I'm trying to find here. I'm not seeing it.
I hope we have good night games. I love Iowa State 11 o'clock home kicks because then I can get back and watch the night game.
By the way, that the Texas Tech Baylor game, I think the over under on that is 88.5.
Yep, it is.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And I'd look at the over on that.
What did TCU Tech was over 100, right? They ended up over 100. Yeah, they were both in the 50s.
And the over-under on
that was like
80.
The lock of the year.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
It was almost that at halftime. I haven't actually made my fifth pick. I was kind of going back.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this my last one?
Yep.
Man, I've got two that I have written down here. I'll just hash them out with you guys on the air. So we can give Adam some more time.
Yeah.
2:30.
I've got Auburn written down at -20 over San Jose State at home. And I've got Tennessee at 6.5 at home over Arkansas.
I would, if I were to steer you away from one, I'll take you back to Auburn barely escaping somebody at home. I'm drawing a blank.
That was Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the route I'm going just because I feel like if you pick Auburn anymore, it's just strictly because you're like, hey, well, they got to come around at some point.
Well, Muschamp's a good coach.
Yeah. But what if they don't?
Muschamp
is their coordinator and Gus Malzahn's a good coach. Yeah. However, it's like, man, that's still a 3-touchdown win over a Division I program. I'm going to roll with Tennessee at 6.5 over Arkansas.
Tennessee, 6.5. Okay.
Tennessee, I think, has pretty good talent.
Tennessee should be undefeated. They absolutely choked away two games.
Well, I know, and that's how I look at that, Adam, because it's like, man, it's kind of like Iowa State. If Cole Nutton makes a field goal, it's a very different perception. If they don't just absolutely choke at the end of those big games, they're a top maybe 5 team in the country.
Oftentimes
right now,
the record doesn't actually tell the story.
Yeah.
When you're 2-10, it typically does.
But then your season's over. Well, it doesn't matter at that point.
To back you, though, Mark, like in week 5, I don't think it always does, especially with non-conference games the way they are. I like the fact that Tennessee's actually played people.
I do agree. While I'm clearly on the let's get rid of our coach bandwagon.
Really?
Everybody knows that. We would feel very differently about this team if that field goal had been good.
Yeah.
At 2-1 versus 1-2.
It would have felt like you escaped with a win on the road against a team that was favored to beat
That's
you.
That's probably going to go 12-0 or 11-1 this year.
Toledo.
Yeah.
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 I don't see him losing 2 MAC games.
Ball State this week will be a tough one. They're only like 6-point favorites. That's a tough game. Ball State gave Northwestern. Was it a Northwestern game last week? It was like 23-19 or something like that. That's a good team. It's a good team. But look out for Ball State.
Look out for Ball State.
They almost beat Iowa last year.
They did. They should have beat Iowa last year.
Iowa scored like 14 points in 3 minutes or whatever that was to escape that one. My God.
Speaking of, has Iowa the answer is going to be yes, but I can't remember Iowa State losing a game quite as heartbreaking as maybe Texas did, to where they gave up those penalties, the field goal, and then the punter just completely dropped the ball.
Yeah.
That was brutal.
Right in his hands.
To me, like, the one I always go back to is Kansas State and Arrowhead.
Yeah, that where we missed the extra point, got blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. Or even at Toledo the last time we lost there.
Oh, that one was horrible.
Where we botched the punt snap, I guess, and I think they even returned a kick against Iowa State.
Always use that example as, like, Iowa State inventing a way to lose that Toledo game.
Yeah.
And then they kind of did it again.
We definitely
have you. By the way, just curiosity, because of the punt, that snap to the Texas punter was right in his hands. It was a perfect snap.
Yes.
Have you seen? I watch a lot of football. I know you guys do too. Have you seen in the NFL this year, while you're watching games, have you seen a bad punt snap? It seems like that never happens. Those punters are so damn reliable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there every time.
Right in the chest.
Every time.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally they get them blocked, but you don't see bad snaps hardly ever.
That how do they find those guys? Do they just say, hey, this team, I'm watching Alabama, their long snapper's really good, I'm going to get him and we'll pay him $300,000 to be our long snapper?
You need a big body, obviously, but the reality is they can't even hit that guy.
Yeah, you can't. So you don't really need a big body. They could be me or you back there.
You know, because, you can't line up on the center.
Nope.
So I don't know. I mean, that's all they do. They just work on it all the time.
It's got to be the best job in all of sports.
Hey, as long as you're snapping it back, why would they get rid of you?
Yeah.
You know? I'll keep that guy for 30 years.
Yeah, you can snap for 50 years. Don't worry about injury. No concussions. Nothing. And make some good money.
By the way, do you guys have a guess on, I saw this, I was watching TV the other day, what do you think Adam Vinatieri's shoe size is? I saw one of his game-winning kicks, his cleats were being auctioned off from 2003.
Would buy that?
I don't know. I'm a Patriots fan. He signed him. Game-worn, Super Bowl winning field goal.
Would you buy that, Mark? You like your memorabilia.
No, I don't care about Adam Vinatieri.
I'm guessing he's not a very big guy.
But Adam, how much would you pay for a game-worn Brett Favre jockstrap? Oh. Unwashed.
Unwashed.
Smells like a locker room.
Can I get pictures with him in the jock strap before I buy it? Like, and then I can make the jock strap with pictures of him wearing it?
You can do whatever you want with it.
Put it on your head.
I'd pay at least a gur.
Jeez.
It's all sweaty. It's got the Favre sweat all over it.
What's your guess?
Probably blood on it because, you know, he took such a beating, but he just got up like a man and kept playing. Greatest football player ever to live.
Vinatieri, big feet, small feet. What do you think?
I'm going to say big feet just because you're asking the question. I would say small feet, but the fact you're pointing this out, I'm going to say size 14s.
What do you think, Chris?
I'll go the opposite. Eight.
Eight.
Size 7.5.
No way.
Yep. Tiny feet.
That would help you as a kicker, I would think.
Tiny feet. Yeah, you don't want big old floppy dog ears for feet.
It's a lot more of an area to miss on.
Yeah.
7.5.
I was damn close.
Yeah.
There are third graders that have 7.5 for feet.
My wife
tiny
has
feet.
Like 5.
I guarantee you, next time you're watching a Colts game, you're going to be staring at his feet going, dang, those are small, dude.
You know what they say about the foot size of a man?
I do. I know exactly what they say.
What do they say, guys?
Big feet, big shoes.
Yep.
That's what they say. What, you got one pick left.
Okay? I do.
We got to go.
Okay. I am taking Mississippi on the road at Florida. I believe it's 6.5. I lost the line here, but it's 6.5.
Mississippi's good.
Mississippi's good. Florida got away with one last week. I don't think Florida's very good. I think that coach is going to do a good job for him, but he's probably 2 years away from getting it turned around.
What's Ron Zook up to nowadays?
It's 7.5, actually. Ron Zook, who knows? Who cares?
The swamp isn't what it used to be. That used to be a tough place.
It used to be. Well, everything's a tough place to win when you have good players.
When you have Tebow's.
Yeah.
Running around. So you're taking
Ole Miss. -7.5.
-7.5. Okay.
So
fun picks. Fun picks this week.
Yeah, it was fun. When are you putting this podcast up? Are you putting it up today?
Yeah, I'm gonna go work out and then I'll do it after that.
Okay, so people that are listening today that are in the Des Moines area, stop out tonight at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill. We're having special guests.
Very special guest.
Very coaching. They're I can't say that.
Whatever.
Okay.
Well, can't say their names.
What is your what's your
are
game?
Are you coming, Mark?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I believe I am.
People want to meet you.
Nobody wants to meet me, but that's okay.
No, they do.
Nah, we get our special guest.
Who's coming tonight? Who's the special guest? You're not saying, or you are?
The basketball coaching staff.
You can't
all
say
of them?
That.
You said I couldn't say their name. No. The basketball coaching staff, the entire staff.
Chris, will you do me
– cannot say that.
Chris, why?
Chris, will you do me a favor and introduce me to TJ? Because I don't know TJ.
I don't know if he's coming or not.
All right. If TJ's there, introduce me to him because apparently I'm going to be his neighbor.
You are – well – close. Yeah, where you're moving would be right over by TJ's house.
So there's a natural introduction. There you go. Yeah. Prome, you can also introduce me.
I don't know if they're going to be there, though.
So if Prome is there, here's the guy you should have hired to help you buy a house.
Unnamed sources are saying that they will be.
Up to nine.
But Chris can neither confirm or deny that.
Did you hear, by the way, that Prome did buy a house in Ames?
He told us that the other day on the Cyclone.
It's official. He was going on and on about how he's not rich, can't afford Hoiberg's house, which is true. Hoiberg's like $1.2 million, I think. He ended up spending about $835,000.
Hoiberg's house is – have you ever seen it?
Pictures, yeah.
Yeah, it is so cool. Like his backyard, like the basketball hoop, and it's really neat.
Yeah.
Only person here who could afford that is Mark.
I'm going to put up the new house I'm buying against Hoiberg's house. It's not as big, but hey, you know, it is what it is, fellas. You guys are invited over
anytime. And you're Jack Whitford's neighbor.
Jack Whitford's neighbor, Lane Danielson, Cyclone legend. Yeah. It'd be a good spot to land.
You said the word Cyclone legend for the second time. Can I put two and two together that it's Lane Danielson who hates smoke on the water?
Is Lane Danielson a Cyclone legend in your opinion? That guy's legit. He's got to be up there in the wide receiving records.
In my mind, both of those guys are because I love those guys.
And they're walk-ons.
I'd freaking take a bullet. I love those dudes, man. Yeah. I love those guys.
I'm not going to confirm the smoke on the water for you because I don't reveal my
sources. Well, I mean, I'm just saying – Mark, I'm just some investigative journalism here.
When you start to reveal your sources to me, then I'm going to start to reveal mine to you, bud. That's the way it works. You know, until then, they're confidential.
I'll never reveal mine. Take them to the grave.
Good luck, then. I'll probably see you boys tonight.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you listening. Go buy a house. MarkCharter.com. He's got lots of them.